be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, so that if you care to find it and put a finger or something in there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, semicolon, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, we dealt with the praying for kings and all in authority and so on. I know I talked about that a fair amount in a previous message. Since doing this series on prayer, supplication has become so much more a part of my interceding, of my praying. And I'm pleased with that, okay? I preach to myself. And I even listen to what I preach. Now, that's perhaps the amazing part. But I exhort. Now, I know what that means, but I went and looked it up just to be sure I was accurate in what I was thinking it meant. It's to strongly urge a person in a particular matter, to be animated by the instruction. I exhort you. I'm not just telling you. Okay? I'm not just laying it out there. This is not a take it or leave it matter. I'm exhorting you. Man, like, this is something you better sit up and take note to. That's the emphasis. And that's what Paul says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all. Now, when you see that word, then you pay attention to what is first of all. What is it? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All right, now I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and I want to compare these two verses. Now, we already looked at Ephesians 6, 18, but Ephesians 6, 18 says this, praying always. Then the first thing he says, where he says praying always with all, and then you notice what he says, with all prayer. Well, no, wait a minute. He just said praying always. Now he says prayer and supplication. His initial statement, praying always, I'm picturing like an umbrella. Okay? And then he goes into the ribs, you know, that support the canopy that protects us. Praying always with, and then he goes into the specifics, prayer and supplication. And then we looked at this already in the Spirit. But then he also ends the verse by saying perseverance and supplication. I mean, it's important that we have prayer and supplication, but now he emphasizes it. He doesn't use the word exhort, but that's what he's doing. He's emphasizing and perseverance. I mean, you just do it and you stay with it. You don't give up on it. You see it through to whatever, let's call it a completion it is. And I realize some things that we're praying for and pleading, remember supplication, pleading, begging God. Some of the things we're pleading with God for, we may not be able to see a completion of it. But you pray it through to, let me call it a natural end. You persevere. You don't give up on it. If you give up on it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to forfeit a victory. You're going to forfeit a satisfaction. Amen. And so, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, comparing them, Do you notice we're at 6:18, prayer and supplication? Flip back to 1 Timothy, and what does he say? Supplications, prayer. In Ephesians, he says prayer and then supplication. And in Timothy, he says putting supplications first. Now he said, well, he just switched them up a little bit for some variety. Now you know better than that. You know things aren't written in the book just for a little bit of variety. He wanted to emphasize to the Ephesians prayer and supplications, and he wanted to Timothy to emphasize the supplications first. What do you need? Which would he emphasize to you? Now remember, supplication is a form of prayer. It's just that it is a enhanced form of prayer. And so in some cases, what I'm going to call general prayer is fitting. But then in other situations, supplication is fitting. And so apparently Paul, through Timothy, wanted Timothy to know, and the people that Timothy would work with, is that there are times and there are situations that what you need to do is kick it up a notch or two in your prayer life and do some pleading with God for this matter. Because that's what's going to be satisfying. Now, we don't pray for others in order for ourselves to be satisfied, but we get that as a blessing, okay? As a blessing. And so, since doing this series, as I said, this whole matter of supplication has become so much more meaningful. The more you know a person, the more your heart is one with them. And the more you can supplicate, plead with God for them. You know, many times we get prayer requests. Somebody will contact Sister Ruth Ann or Pastor, and we'll get a prayer request. I pray for every one of those that comes through. But you know, there are many of them that I don't know the person. They're a stranger to me. And therefore, what I'm doing is praying for them. Now, according to what the need is, I recognize the seriousness of it and the extent of it. And therefore, I will supplicate or plead with God for that person. But when you don't know them, okay, you cannot have that same level of intensity in praying for them as you do with somebody that you know. And therefore, you may have heard the term prayer burden. Perhaps you have prayed. I'm sure you have prayed. You're the prayer meeting group. You have prayed often and sincerely, but you may have wondered perhaps about this term burden until, that is, someone you know and care about has a need, and then you have a burden, all right? Because now it goes beyond my friend's friend, my friend's father's brother, okay? Just had a heart attack. Well, that's serious. So I would plead with God for it. But I don't know them. And therefore, my level of even pleading and interaction is going to be different than if one of you I get a request for. And there's a particular situation. Now let me tell you, I'm going to plead in a different manner. Because I know you. And we have a relationship. And one of the benefits of expanding your familiarity with God's people. You expanding your familiarity with God's people. Got it? One of the benefits is that you will be able to pray for God's people with a burden. You can supplicate for them. Pray with a burden. But this calls for you to open your heart. And this calls for you to open your life. What do we say? You may need to get out of your comfort zone. Okay? You have your own circle of friends, people that you're comfortable with. And this matter of praying with a burden may involve you becoming vulnerable. Now, there's some things you don't want just anybody to know. I'm not talking about private things that a person shouldn't know, okay, that are to be private. They stay in your family. They stay amongst your best friend. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking in general. There's just some things that you feel they don't need to know that about me. We need each other. We are a team. We are working together. Now, I must put out a note of caution here. And I can tell you wonder where I'm going. I sense that by how quiet you are. And that's okay. I sit in services and I hear messages, and I'm just not quite sure, you know. And sometimes a preacher will ask a question, I'm afraid to answer because I'm not sure where he's going with the question. And I might answer it wrong. So I let somebody else stick their neck out. Any one person of us is only capable of having X number of close relationships. Well, we might also be able to call intimate relationships. It's a practical matter of capability. And so don't be hard on yourself, or don't have an unrealistic expectation. You are not going to be able to have this close kind of relationship that I'm talking about with everybody that's here tonight. You just can't. I mean, you might want to, and it might be great if we did, but your mind and heart and hours in a day, you can't, none of them are enough to be able to have an intimate, close personal relationship with everyone that's here. Now, like I say, that's sort of sad because we'd like to, but hey, deal with it. That's life. For example, if each of us were to have 4 to 6 people, now don't take that number as written in stone. Maybe it's 6 to 8 for you, okay? Or maybe it's just 3 or 4. But if each of us have, stay with my number, 4 to 6 people, if we let God lead us in who those people are, it's going to take care of everybody, and I'll explain that. Now there are some natural connections that we may have with somebody that would cause them to be part of our close or intimate circle of people that we can pray for and have a burden for, okay? There'll be some natural situations and circumstances that would enable that. But then there's some people that we don't have some of those natural connections with. But God may want to put it on your mind or heart, and God may want to engineer and guide you to include so-and-so. And in order to do that, he may prompt you to get to know that person. Now you're getting out of your comfort zone. Or somebody may be coming to you, and they're trying, being led by God, to reach out to you. And they're not asking big secret probing questions, okay? They're just talking to you beyond what they usually do. You know, usually it's, hi, how are you today? Boy, isn't that sunshine nice we have out there? Ah, boy, it sure is. I'm glad to see you today. Take care. Off you go, okay? They're going to stay there. And they're going to have some maybe compliment about what you're wearing. Now, I'm thinking of the ladies, okay? But they may chat with you as a man about some area, okay? Like if they know, like, you know, who do we got here? We got Luke and Zane. Somebody may come up to them and they may chat with them, and then they may get into car talk. You know, the kind of person that doesn't usually do that with them. And, well, because that's their subject, they're willing to talk. And they may not realize that God is engineering a connection, because he wants to put one of those two guys in that individual's circle. And so, now, listen, if we all, whether it's through natural means of connections and those that God leads us in, if we all have our 4 to 6 people, in other words, if Randy has his 4 to 6, if Jody has her 4 to 6, and if Jen has her 4 to 6, now listen, some of Jody's 4 to 6 people, there might be 2 of them that overlap with 2 that are on Jen's list. Now they're not comparing paper lists, okay? But I'm just telling you, they may not even talk about who's on their list, okay? But there may be 2 that overlap. And then Randy, somebody he has, his may overlap with Kyle's, okay? And they each have the same person on it. That's not a problem. Because if we're letting God engineer this whole matter, he isn't going to let anybody out. Right. You know, in a group our size, somebody's going to get prayed for by more than one person. Yeah. But everybody's going to get prayed for by somebody. Not just prayed for, supplicated for. Amen. A relationship built between them, so that when Randy has a problem come up, he's able to go to one of those 4 to 6 people on his list and say to them, would you pray for me? I'm dealing with thus and such this week. Might be work oriented, might be an issue with his car, okay? Might be an issue with his Bible reading, a variety of things. But he can go to them. Why? Because he feels close to them. And you can go to people that are on your list. But you see, if all you care about is yourself and 2 or 3 people that are already close to you, family, for example, you're not going to be able to go to anybody. You are not going to have anybody to help bear your burden. This is what I mean by, we're a family, we're a team. We're here to help each other. But friends, this doesn't just happen automatically. What happens automatically is a cold church. What happens automatically is a group of people, they all come in, they smile, they say good morning, they stand up and try to sing the song. You know, they're so... We are unusual. Oh, well, there's a number of ways we're unusual. I need it like that. But our singing, but you get in the cold church where people don't connect. And why do they sing that way? Because they don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not saying they're not saved. It's just they don't have that close walk with the Lord. And you see, it's that close walk with the Lord. And if you don't care about other people, listen to me now. If you don't care about other people, it's probably because you don't have a close relationship with the Lord. I didn't ask if you're saved or not. You don't have a close relationship with the Lord. Because when he's in our life and working, he... Sorry about that. But I have to look and see. Okay. Please. I'm pleading. God has given me some pleading information. Now, I must take care of this. But let me tell you, when this is done, I'm going to step off and I'm going to take care of it. Oh, praise God. There's nothing as satisfying as letting God create these kind of situations. No one will be left out. God will cover everyone. And you'll have additional people. I'm not saying you only pray for 4 to 6 or however many people. I'm not saying that's it. It's just those are the ones that you're close to, that you are intimate with, and that you can, when you know something in their life, it becomes meaningful because of what they are in your life. But like I say, you'll have others you're praying for. Now I'm down to one page, okay? So this is moving along. Proverbially, I want you to shift gears. Same subject, but another direction. And I hope that what I've just said gives you some food for thought, and you'll consider it. And each of you is going to consider this at the level you're at, okay? Your level you're at with the Lord, level you're at with other people. Hey, the level you're at with yourself. Wow. All right. Is prayer indeed speaking to God? Rhetorical question that we'll get an answer. Is prayer speaking to God? Is prayer seeking help or leading from God? By faith and trust, depending on God with what he leads or shows you. Or, big letters, this big on my notes. That means it's important. Or, is it a person's desires wishfully expressed in an acceptable religious terminology? Is prayer seeking God and speaking to God, or is it just me with things that I desire for me to just simply open up and talk to him and say, oh, hey, by the way, I need to get into the car. What do you think of that? It'd be strange if I did that. But if I say, oh, I have something I'd like you to pray about. I need to get another car. Would you pray about that? Now, you see, I'm not really asking you to pray. I'm just wanting to tell you what's on my mind. Now they are going to sound very much alike. But after you get to know somebody for a while, you can soon begin to wonder, Is this really a prayer request, or is this really just them wanting to tell me something? Now, for some of you, that's enough of a seed planted for you to begin to realize this may be true. I can't control other people, but I can control me. And therefore, when something comes up, listen, Roger, there are some things you just need to pray for it alone. You know, you're not going to convince God by getting 50 people to pray for it. You think God's going to give something just because you get a larger number of people praying? Now, I say that, and yet it is good to get many people praying. Do you see the fine line between man's thinking and God's thinking with a lot of these things? But there are some things that, Roger, you just need to pray to this alone with God. You know, there's no need for people at church to know this. And that way I don't put things out there that is not really a prayer request. It's my personal announcement time. Yeah. And so now we get into the area of the praying person's relationship with God and the condition of their heart. Okay? Because that's what's going to determine when... Oh, here's another one. Oh, I love these. It's in the form of a prayer, but it's really, I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to tell you something that I think would be good for you to be aware of. I mean, I can't just simply stand up and do it, so I'll crouch it in prayer. And so when a person would only maybe need 3 or 4 minutes to pray, it's going to take me 7 or 8 in order to deliver this message to you. And who in the world could ever doubt the sincerity of someone praying? I can. I like prayer to be prayer, and I like preaching to be preaching.
Right. Exactly.
And the twain should never meet.
Very good.
Oh, we ought to pray about what we're going to preach. Okay. Last paragraph. Now, these are matters that God knows about a person. Matters of the heart and matters of a relationship with God. And perhaps it would be good if we lived in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Amen. Well, we wouldn't normally think of the things that I've covered here as wicked. We might not normally. But if it's an abuse of prayer, if it's an abuse of what we call a relationship with God, I have no trouble thinking of that as wicked. I know there's a situation that I'm praying for, and I would say he's just not right. He's wrong in the way he's acting. And I just cut all that out, and I talk with the Lord. Okay, and I said, Lord, I'm done talking about that. I said, he is just plain old evil. And the way he is living is evil. And if I told you the situation, I know you'd agree. There's a lot of things I might not know how you'd feel that I share, but I know you'd agree with that one. I can't share it because I just can't, okay? Now, it's nobody that sits here, okay? So don't go thinking that way. And lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. Hence our song. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Father in heaven, I pray that by your grace, you will lead and guide in such a way as to be of great, great help to us in Jesus' name.